90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes, Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. Interview of Philip W. Chow, number 107. This would be tape 2. Minimum of noise reduction.
History Project, jointly sponsored by UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. June 29, 1980. Second interview with Philip W. Chow.
Conducted
by Gordon Chow and Beverly Chan. Did you feel more Chinese or American?
I feel more Chinese.
Okay. Did you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
No, never had that thought.
Did you ever disagree with your family about being Chinese or American?
No, never.
In other words, you're proud to be Chinese?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Do you think you were typical of most other Chinese or different?
I would say, generally speaking, pretty typical.
Pretty typical. When anyone in your family got sick, did you prefer Chinese or Western medicine?
Western medicine.
Why is that?
Because with the present medical technology that these countries have, I have a lot of faith. And I don't think the Chinese medicine that being given to some of these Chinese over here, the so-called the medicine man, is that well trained. That I really don't have that much faith in them.
Did your parents ever use Chinese medicine?
Oh yes, in China we have no other choice. I'm talking about with myself, my wife, and raising my own family, that I always prefer Western to medicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food at home?
No.
You can't correct that.
Why don't you
question. Did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food at home?
Well, in a certain way, yes. You know, like some kind of soup, but not as for medical purposes. It's just more or less like you acquire
nutrition.
A certain taste.
Oh.
A certain thing, and we just like to cook that particular.
Yeah, but weren't some of the things you say, you know, if you drink it, it's good for your health.
Yes,
and
that's
this,
true.
This and that, such as, can you give some examples?
Well, like Lu Mei, Clay Mei, Yak Toi Gan, in general, you know, those type of things.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you believe that they were good for you?
No, it's just that I acquired a taste when I was child, you know, back in China, and I just enjoy a particular dish like that, so I just cook it once in a while.
But that's what you tell the kids, right?
Tell the kids that it was good
for you. That was good for your health. So drink it.
I see.
Okay. In recreation, did your family prefer Chinese things, such as music, mahjong, or Western things, such as ball games, movies?
Well, for myself, it's both. I like to play mahjong. I also enjoy a ball game, or either to participate or to watch as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a preference then?
No, no. I don't.
Okay. Did you or others that you know join any associations in Chinatown?
Well, I don't belong to it. I really don't support some of those associations that strongly, because a lot of those association, it's more or less to gear to a certain group for their own benefit rather than for the benefit of the Chinese as a whole. And in other words, some of those association, I think it's a little bit more divisive rather than try to bring out the Chinese culture, because they tend to favor one group, whatever association you belong to.
So you never belong to the Chow Family Association?
Well, I pay due one time when they purchased the property over there. Other than that, I don't pay any annual due, and I don't attend any of the meeting.
Yeah. How about some of our friends and relatives? Are they, do you know if they're
members? Some, yes. Some, they belong to it. They believe in wholeheartedly. And some just feel the way I do.
Are you automatically a member?
Well, as long as you're, as far as the family association, yes. If you will, if you prefer to join it, they'll take you in, because your family name, you're from the same family tree.
But if you don't pay your dues, then you're not a member.
Well, you're
not
an active, member.
Okay. And then, which were the most important families in Los Angeles?
Well, the one that come into my mind would be the Chow family, that Grace Chow, which is considered one of the community leader, and she joined a lot of other organization that would further the Chinese courses.
You mean her as an individual, though, right?
Well, yes, as an individual.
Not her whole family, I think.
How about the rest of her family?
Well, of course, her husband passed away. And quite a few years back.
Yeah, but was he active in, you know, community?
Well, when he was alive, he was. And also that I knew that the Wilbur Wu, that he is considered the community leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is what, the president of Cathay Bank now.
Right.
He's the president now? Oh, I didn't know that.
And then how did you get to know Wilbur and Grace?
Well, when I was a produce buyer for one of the market in L.A. over there, and Wilbur Wu, they own a wholesale house over in the wholesale market, so I ran into him often in the restaurant, and we were just meeting each other and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Grace Chow, that her husband, when he used to have an import-export business in Seattle, that when I came to this country, that I went through the place that her husband owned, and I knew the family since 1939.
Did you know Wilbur Wu's father?
No, but I knew that he was one of the, in bank and business back in China, and one of the minor officials also with the government.
Okay. What kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
They own a lot of small laundry, farming, grocery store, and restaurant.
Any professional or?
Very, very few that I know of. When you talk about professional job, what I have in mind right off the bat is being a salesman, like maybe selling life insurance, things like that, more so than is highly educated professional line like a lawyer or doctor. That is very, very few.
Did you know of any, like lawyers, doctors, white collar type workers, or?
Not that highly professional field, no.
Were there any jobs which were either all Chinese or all non-Chinese?
Well, I would say in the restaurant business, most of the restaurants you go to would be all Chinese.
You mean all the Chinese restaurants would be all Chinese?
Yes, right.
Okay.
But other than that, I
How about most of the laundries?
Would be all...
The great majority of the laundries were Chinese run and operated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about the non-Chinese? Were there jobs which were not open to the Chinese, either explicitly or implicitly?
Oh, I would say most all the other jobs that better paying that just off limit to Chinese. Even as much as like a Safeway store, that during those years they wouldn't even consider hiring a Chinese.
As a clerk.
As a clerk even.
Why is that?
Well, discrimination.
Yeah.
Because when you work for a firm like that, that you will get the vacation benefits, you will get the union benefit, and short hour benefit, where it's just unheard of in those days that to work, say, a 40-hour week. When you get a job in a Chinese grocery store, you're talking about you're working 6 to 7 days and working from 60 to 80 hours a week.
Yeah. Do you have any personal experience with, you know, like the Safeway stores, or do you know of somebody who was like turned down for a job because they were Chinese?
I don't know of any actual happening, but it's already the grapevine, the word already passed around, it's no use to apply because they just don't hire Chinese.
Mm-hmm. I see. What about like for engineering jobs and that sort of thing, if a person were qualified? Would he be able
My own personal experience, I don't know anybody with that kind of educational background to apply for such a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the people you knew who got degrees from SC?
Yeah.
I would say most of the time during those days that the parent that able to afford to send the children to college, they would like to see them go into business administration because they figure it's more future for them. A better future for them rather than going into a professional line.
What about the person who got a degree from geology? When he did get the degree?
We're talking about Ralph.
Oh yeah, he had a degree in the mid-40s, but eventually he did get a job with the Gulf Oil Company in L.A.
And mid-40s?
Yeah, this was in
World War II.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
How about people before that? Anybody?
I don't know anybody with that kind of educational background.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would have been considered an average income in the pre-war period?
Well, as a part-time worker, full-time students, I was making $5 a week, working 6.5 days. That is, working after school.
Mm-hmm.
But in the early 40s, before World War II, I would say about $35 to $65 a month.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say like a cook in a restaurant made back then?
When I first came over here, one of the chefs in a Chinese restaurant in Seattle, he was making $65 a month.
Mm-hmm. And how about in Los Angeles? Were the scales higher or lower?
Well, I would say that would be the prevailing wages all throughout. Wouldn't be that much a difference.
And then how much would like a grocery store clerk make, like for a Safeway?
Gee, I don't remember. I would say maybe $25 a month or something, a week.
Oh, so it'd be $100 a month.
Yeah.
So considerably more than like a cook in a restaurant.
Yeah, I would say so.
You're talking about cooking in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, cooking in a Chinese restaurant.
I see.
Yeah.
So the Chinese were uniformly being paid lower at a lower rate.
Yes, I would say.
They're doing harder work and longer hours.
Yeah.
Well, at those years now, during that time, a job is hard to come by. But when I find myself a job, working in a grocery store for $5 a week, I was one of the more fortunate ones. But when I first came to this country, at that time, that job opening for newly arrival would be such choice as a so-called houseboy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you live with a Caucasian family, you clean the house and do odd jobs and for them. You might get paid for $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And room and board.
Yeah. What were your expenses like back in that period? Like for food, medical expenses, rent?
Of course, I always worked, and my employer always furnished me the meal,
mm-hmm.
and And then, like I said before, earlier in this interview, that we sleep at the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but other people, you know, if you had to pay, you know, rent and food.
Gee, I would say various for apartment would be from $25 to $40 a month. So I, it's at that time it's very few people have family over here. It's mostly just single man.
How much did say buses cost? Bus fare.
The streetcar at that time in the '40s in L.A. here about 3 cents.
Three cents.
Yeah. Then, or streetcar.
Then how much in comparison, like a loaf of bread back then, or a quart of milk?
Oh, 7-8 cents.
Mm-hmm. Movies?
10 cents. Go to movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did most Chinese live near other Chinese?
Yes, I would say.
All near Chinatown?
All near Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. And would they move if the neighborhood changed?
I don't think so. I don't think they would. They have a tendency like to be among their own.
Yeah.
But if the neighborhood became infused with a new ethnic group, for instance, Mexicans or blacks or whatnot, would they move out?
Well, at that time we don't have this population explosion problem. So something like that, it just never occurred.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did people do with the money they saved?
I would say 90% of them sent back to China to support the family one way or another.
Yeah. All the people you knew, or just about all the people you know, were sending money.
Yes, 90%
back to China.
Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that includes myself.
Yeah. So how much of your monthly salary could you save?
Well, I would say most of it at that time, mm-hmm. because a lot of this recreation. Places and entertainment that we just don't go into.
Yeah. Did you send the money back of your own free will, or did you get, you know, requests from China that, you know, they
most likely
need money?
Yes, in both way. Most of the time, I feel it was my responsibility to help out, so I just send it in my own accord.
Mm-hmm.
And other time too, I always get letter requesting.
Mm-hmm.
Financial help.
Were they your close relatives or
no? My own family. Yeah.
Oh.
My relative too. Once in a while, write, you know, ask for money, but I just was never able, you know, to help him. I haven't got that kind of a financial.
Yeah. How about your father? Wasn't he in
Canada?
Canada, and he was sending money back home.
Oh yes.
So it took
regularly.
Both,
yeah.
Both of you too.
Yes.
When you say your family, how many people were there?
Well, I have three brothers and three sisters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And two brothers, right?
Yeah, two brothers and three sisters.
Two
yeah.
brothers and three sisters.
Yeah,
so he counted himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Do you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China, for example, in supporting the 1911 revolution?
No, I don't. I don't know any individual.
You don't know any individuals that were like involved in the Kuomintang?
No.
Hmm. How about local politics?
No, I don't know anybody like that either.
Yeah. So the village then wasn't too political then?
Huh? No, not back in the village, but the only active thing that I remember was when they tried to sell war bonds to a lot of this family.
Mm-hmm.
There or here?
In China.
In China?
In China, yeah.
Weren't there active efforts to raise money here to aid the Chinese army back there in the war against the Japanese?
There might have, but I wasn't really that well aware of it at that time.
Nobody came to you to raise funds? And you were not aware of any activities.
No. But don't forget that at that time I was only 12 years old, so you know, I can't be too active as far as politics are concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, did many Chinese feel they had obligations in China?
Yes.
For example, family support?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, we all feel that way.
Mm.
That was our main goal when we left China, is try to make a better life.
Mm.
mm-hmm. for oneself and try to help out the family financially.
Yeah. Were the Chinese in Los Angeles affected by the Depression? I guess you were here at the tail end.
No, I wasn't here then, that Depression. I didn't...
Didn't it go into the late 30s, the Depression?
Yeah, it went about 30.
But I didn't get here till end of 39, and I didn't come to L.A. till early in 40.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
right.
Okay, fine. Did you ever feel there was hostility toward Chinese in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's something like an unwritten law. You can see it all around you.
Yeah.
But you're just taken for granted, then that's the way the society was at that time.
Yeah, can you give some examples? Like, for instance, you wouldn't be comfortable, or you know, like if you wanted to purchase a piece of property, you could not go into certain areas.
That's right.
Right?
Not that I had any money to purchase a property at that time, but I knew that was just an unwritten law that they will not sell it to you, or rent your apartment in a higher class neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And then certain jobs were like off limits too?
Oh, sure. All the doors were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Just about.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that this hostility has disappeared? This hostility toward Chinese?
Well, yes. It has improved a great deal, but there's still, you know, a long way to go. Even though that all fields are being, the doors are being opened to Chinese, but in a certain way, I think there's still a little discrimination going on yet, such as if they have a choice of hiring a Chinese or non-Chinese, Caucasian in specific, I think most firms will go with the Caucasian rather than Chinese, unless it's being required by the government. And then your advancement too, they have a tendency of advance a Caucasian more so than it's Chinese. It's still going on today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you consider Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population of Los Angeles?
I would say Chinese have done a lot better. They take life more serious, generally speaking, and they work harder. They try to achieve or prove that they are able to better the environment, better themselves, and able to provide better for the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever compared Chinese with Jewish people in the way of doing business, or have you ever heard people making such comparisons?
Oh, I don't make comparison like that myself, but I think they say that as a joke because they figure that the Chinese, with as far as the business might be, would be just as sharp as a Jewish fellow.
Or just as cheap. Okay. Did many parents feel it was important for their children to attend Chinese schools to learn the language?
Yes, I had that feeling myself, but being that we live away from Chinatown, that there's no way that I can send my children to a Chinese school and have a Chinese education. But deep in my heart, I always wish that my own children would be able to read a little bit of Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and able to speak it fluently.
Yeah. You're speaking about our family in particular, but
I'm talking about my own family.
But like back in the late 40s, early 50s, did Chinese families in general send their kids to Chinese school?
Oh yes, if they happen to live, say, close in Chinatown where their schooling is available, they generally have their children go to a Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they themselves were born here, say?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And they would still send theirs, the next generation?
Yeah, I would say, yes.
Uh-huh.
If their school is available, that close
mm-hmm.
by, which is, convenient for them to send their children to a Chinese school.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did many people hope to ultimately return to China?
Oh yes, I would say. Myself, I had that hope. That,
go back
to go back and live.
How How many actually did so?
Well, because of the Turner event in China, that most people just perished the thought, being that the communists overrun mainland, mm-hmm. so they figure they had no other choice than just to stay in this country. But if the government were under any other kind of political government, I think a lot of you Chinese would return to China, either to live or to retire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did American-born Chinese think of Chinese schools and going back to China?
No, this is Chinese schools in China, not the Chinese schools here.
You mean the American-born children here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they?
My feeling is they don't have that desire at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did you or others think of the way Chinese were portrayed in movies?
I really don't think they give a true picture of it, because they always have a tendency to look down on your Chinese way of life. So far as a true picture of it is, I don't think it's a good portrayal of the real mm-hmm. Chinese way of life over here.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's improved in recent years?
I don't think so.
You think it's still pretty much stereotyped.
Right.
Did you or your friends or anyone you know make any protests?
On what ground?
We're being stereotyped in the movies?
No, none of my friend or myself, but I have read about certain Chinese organization are making that kind of headway.
Mm-hmm. I see. Did you ever hear anyone say they were embarrassed to be Chinese?
No, I don't think so. I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. What types of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves and for their children?
Somehow that people in my generation, they always look at good education is it's very important. So when you go into a highly professional field, such as in medicine, or in law, or in accounting, engineering, it's very, very desirable and prestigious. Mm-hmm.
Apparent end of tape.